everybody. It is February 16th, 2017. This is Geeks Next Door, episode 48. 48, that's almost a year. Holy shit.
Holy cow.
So that puts our 1 year at February 16th. That's coming, or I'm sorry, March 16th. That's coming up pretty quick, right? So what I want to know from you guys is, what should we do on our 1 year anniversary that is epic, impactful, and like amazing?
Legendary.
Legendary. Good one, Adam. Legendary. Good ad, good verb. Or adjective. Yeah.
Good word. Good word.
It's a good question. You didn't give much prep time there, but that's
what makes it more fun.
Yeah, that's what I know. What do you guys think would be a suitable reward / entertaining thing to do on the podcast? Good.
I say we buy cake and watch Chris have one piece of cake.
Well, yes, because I don't get excited enough on the podcast. That's what we want.
I would like to see him go, woo!
I think it'd be interesting if we went back and took all the episodes and then took every time Adam said, that's a tough one. I'll have to think about that.
If somebody like actually went through and edited those all together, I would be amazed.
that would take a lot of time.
Yeah, we just need like...
We could count the number of times where we ask for one answer and Ryan gives us 2 to 3.
Yeah, but that's not as fun. I like, it's, you know, you got to, that's many, many answers, whatever. Okay, but I mean, we're brainstorming. I like where we're going.
I think we should do an episode where we're all in the same room.
That would work. It'd be a little harder to get together it'd be harder to do the visual part of it, but.
Logistically, it's tough.
But it's supposed to be big.
Epic.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to happen on Thursday night. I mean, we could do it on Wednesday, you know? Instead of D&D, we could do a fucking episode for a few hours beforehand or whatever.
Yeah. We could do a D&D gaming session.
That's an idea.
I'm sure has never been done.
It's a good idea. Assuming people can get away from playing D&D like this.
And falling asleep.
Oh, is it my turn yet? I'll put down my phone. Okay. and yes, falling asleep most of the way through.
Ugh, lately, yes.
But I like the idea. I like where you're going. All right. Anything involving cars we could think about? Maybe we could race cars?
Yeah, we could like drive cars off a cliff and then jump out like right before it goes over the edge. And then, like, put a sign on the back of a parachute. And the parachute will say "Geeks Next Door," and it'll, as soon as it goes off the cliff, it'll like. But then, we'll blow it up, like with a remote destination on the way down.
I like
That'd
that.
Be pretty
cool. I like that. I do have a question for you though. I'd like to get a 4-door car, and I want to know who's sitting in bitch, because whoever's sitting in bitch is gonna have a harder time jumping out.
Or. Yeah, it's not me. I call shotgun.
right?
All right. If Ryan, you call shotgun, you have to make sure everything is the directions are fine on where we're going, because that's what the shotgun guy is, the navigator. So, and we know that you cannot find much of anything.
I have faith that Ryan's like, there's the cliff, drive off it.
Really?
I do, actually. Of all the things I have faith in...
I don't know. Like, of all the things Ryan could do, he's like, hey, there's the cliff. And for some reason, we're driving 180 degrees away from the cliff. Like, he's like, there's the cliff.
Ryan, the cliff's behind us. Yep, certainly is.
I see it. It's in the rearview mirror.
All I can say is the guy had trouble getting to Chicago.
No, I didn't. I got there. Did I have trouble? Maybe I did.
Yeah,
fuck
your directions had us going through, like, Milwaukee.
I had a hard time getting home from Maple Grove. I mean, Jesus Christ, stuff happens. It's not a big deal. Some people are not good with directions. Some people need an if-then statement, not a random direction going on.
My phone tells me where to go.
If then statements. It's like, if you're on this road, go here.
Right, but that's not given to him. It's just like, here's you where you are, here's where you gotta go. Go, and their directions aren't given, you know, it's just, yeah.
But it's usually in your brain. Right. Like, your brain is a totally if-then state. It's like, if you're on this road.
I think you're not understanding what goes on in Ryan's brain when he's driving. He's like, beep, bop, boop, beep, beep. Well, now I must think of soccer. Beep, bop, boop, boop. Now I must think of bots. Beep, boop, beep, bop, bop. And then the directions kind of go
basically, driving is too easy, so you think about everything else, and then you go the wrong direction. Quite simple.
It's funny that driving isn't too easy because you get lost all the time.
But driving's easy. Going the right way is tricky part.
My favorite Ryan driving story is sometimes, not recently, but he used to call sometimes and be like, "I'd be like, oh, where are you at?" He's like, "I'm driving. There's lights on the road. I don't really know where I am, but I recognize these lights, so I'm going in the right direction."
There's rocks. There's a bridge somewhere, I think.
Okay. All right, so we got some good ideas, some good brainstorming. Dave, too, okay. You got anything? You haven't really thrown anything out yet.
Besides Ryan's thing. No, I think we should email Kevin Smith and have him join our podcast for the 100th episode. 100. He's willing to do it.
Yeah.
Or some of the other podcasts.
But
he's got time if he's not too busy, you know, doing CW shows.
But will we be able to get a word in edgewise? Like, it's hard enough with five people getting a word in. Think of...
Oh, no. I think most of us will probably be doing this. What's he saying? Oh, my God.
Whatever. Fuck that guy. Fuck, that guy makes me mad. He's like, here is a good show I'm going to do. Never mind, I'm canceling. Nobody's interested. I'm going to do something else now. Here's another good show I'm going to do. Never mind, I'm canceling. No one's interested in it. Okay. All right. Well, maybe we'll brainstorm it some more. We'll come up with something amazing.
Yeah, I'll think on that. Maybe later on the episode something will pop up.
Ooh, I got it.
Ooh.
Ryan buys a VR set, and on the podcast we all try it.
Wait,
good idea.
Or no, he buys five of them.
Ooh, that seems excessive.
And we create a virtual reality world, and then we all are in it.
Can I trade mine in?
Are you already? Dave, you want to make the framework?
Yep, I will make the framework.
I'd like to trade mine in for a 3D printer.
As intrigued I am on that, that seems lower on the reality list because, like, Ryan doesn't want to buy five VR sets.
Wait a minute. Is it low on the reality list or is it low on the virtual reality list?
Oh, I see what you're
saying. All right, with that, let's get the fucking podcast started.
This is where we turn up the party. All night feels good, we can't decide it. This is where we turn up the party. All night feels good, we can't decide it. Turn up the party, turn up the party.
Okay, I think this might be a fast one tonight because we're getting started kind of later. What are we talking about? What's going on?
Basketball.
Give me something interesting. We're talking about basketball?
Yeah, yeah. Hit us with the basketball.
Tell us about your skills. Do you have any triple-double, quadruple? Does anybody get that anymore?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm
8 for 10
lifetime.
The bar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Rubio gets a quadruple-double every night.
I don't know who that is. Oh, Mark. Yeah. No, he doesn't. That's terrible. He's terrible advice. Don't listen to him. What I do want to talk about, though, is before you guys say anything, Amy, my lovely wife, told me that Ben Affleck is thinking about pulling out of being Batman in the future. Did you guys hear about this at all? Is this something a thing?
Yes, I did.
All right, tell me. Enlighten
I actually wrote it. I wrote it in the comments there.
You liar. This is my idea. Okay.
No, yeah.
Supposedly he wants to say why.
Not exactly. The rumor is he's trying to work it out so that after the Justice League sequel, he's no longer Batman. He's complained already, just in getting the standalone movie together. That it's too difficult to move in the suit and it's too demanding. And
is that true?
He doesn't like working out.
I think he's just being sad, Affleck.
Right.
Huh. I just heard that there's a dude that was like, multiple sources have told me Ben Affleck does not want to play Batman, but like that was all I heard.
Yeah, I mean there hasn't been much on the reason why. There's a lot of speculation.
I don't care why. But okay, so if that happens, give me your replacement. Who's your replacement Batman that you think would be a good, do a good job?
Matt Smith.
Who the fuck is Matt Smith?
Doctor Who, Matt Smith?
Oh wait, no, he would be a different character. I'm kidding.
I was gonna be like, okay.
Hey, there's no wrong answers, there's just bad answers. So what?
I'm just trying to picture the guy who plays Khal Drogo without a beard, because he looks badass, but I don't know if he looks.
He's already in the Justice League.
Yeah. That's not he's the Aquaman. Point. who would be good, not who would be practical?
It would be pretty awesome, though, if he was Aquaman and Batman. They have to go between. He's like, Batman, you're here. No, I'm Aquaman. Like, oh, Aquaman, thank God you're here. No, I'm Batman.
I think he's too bulky and too tall.
I don't know. I wonder. Yeah, he's got a very severe face, but I only see him as Khal Drogo.
I guess we have to let's differentiate. Like, somebody has to be a good Bruce Wayne, like, because almost anybody can be Batman, right? You put the fucking plastic shit on, you do some moves, you're pretty good. But who's? Because I thought Ben Affleck did a pretty good job of being Bruce Wayne. I liked his Bruce Wayne.
Right.
That's a good point.
John Hamm?
Yeah, John Hamm was always, like, I thought he would be a good...
He seems so clean-cut to me, though, but okay, all right.
Michael Fassbender.
I don't know who that is.
Magneto. He's the one that plays Magneto.
I think Pauly Shore would be pretty good.
Oh, boy. There's no bad ideas, but there are really dumb ones.
He would be awesome.
Isn't he dead?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Like his career, maybe, but I think he's...
The Weasel?
Who's that one guy that looks different? I think he was in that fucking movie. Was he Alexander? Was that the movie? Who's in that movie? Who is Alexander?
Oh, you mean Colin Farrell?
Yeah, what's that? Let me look at that image. I remember that guy looking kind of like darkish. Yeah, I think he could do an okay job.
What about... Yeah, maybe. He looks more like a villain. What about the guy that plays the new Captain Kirk?
Who the fuck's that?
Christopher Pine?
There you go.
Alright.
I can see it.
Let me hit you with a little bit of out-of-the-box thinking.
Yeah.
Matt Damon.
It's really short, but...
Jason Bourne, when he's fucking punching that dude in that ring in the last one. Yeah, right there. That's what I'm talking about.
He's got the motivation to do it.
What's the motivation?
He's okay with working out and getting in shape.
I think most people are, aren't they?
Not Fat Affleck.
Oh, that's what? He's in good shape.
Yeah, now, because he's being paid millions of dollars to do it.
That would be great.
Yeah, I agree. Wish I could get that gig. It'd be awesome.
You know, I think I wonder if it has to do with the negative attention he got.
I just am reading something. It's all like he has not let his whatever his opinion known about like the movie being, you know, underwhelming.
What?
See, I bet you he takes a little blame for the movie not being successful, or sort of feels like, I don't know, that the franchise, I bet you he feels bad about it.
But he didn't direct it.
I think that's stupid. Well, but he was Batman.
Right, but I think like he was the best part of that movie, honestly, I thought, anyways. I mean, as far as characters go, he seemed like one of the best characters of the movie.
Well, I hope he listens to this, because I thought he was good, too.
Well, I thought that was kind of universally accepted. Like, he did a good job, and that just that people didn't like the tone, and they didn't like that Superman kills. Rah, 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 rah.
I don't know. Was it David? Do you guys think it was accepted that he was good?
Yes. I think he was the best part about that. Like, his portrayal of Batman was, like, a good portrayal of Batman, I think.
Yeah, I think he played. I think with, you know, they're going for the older, grizzled, more Batman who has seen that nothing's been working, that he's been trying. So I thought he did a pretty good job of playing that.
Yeah, the big negatives I've always heard about it is they didn't like Lex Luthor's portrayal. They didn't like how dark it was. They didn't like them fighting all the time and like willing to kill each other. But you're right. But the character, they said they didn't like the character being so dark and negative as well. I don't know. I still like the movie, and I think he was one of the better parts of the movie.
Yep. There you go. That's what I think I'm going to go as. I'm going to go with Carl Urban.
Who the fuck is Carl Urban?
He played a little Dr. guy.
Judge Dredd.
Judge Dredd. He played Faramir in Lord of the Rings.
Okay. Okay.
I put a picture on the panel there.
Yeah, I got that.
So.
All right.
That's a good one, Dave.
I think that's who I could see. He's not a huge star. He can act well. He doesn't mind comic book movies. He wore the Judge Dredd suit in the Dredd movie. He never took the helmet off the entire movie.
That's right, he didn't.
Like, so he doesn't mind being in, like, bulky costumes. He wore, like, a suit of armor the whole time in Lord of the Rings.
Did he just make that one Judge Dredd movie, or did they make two?
Yeah. They made that one, okay. And everybody loved that movie. That movie's so good.
He's been trying to get a sequel
right
off the ground. So
okay.
But in addition to Affleck not directing Batman, which we knew about earlier,
yep.
Matt Reeves, the guy who did Let Me In, that vampire movie with the little girl,
Swedish movie, was it? Or
yeah, it's the American version of the Swedish movie. Okay. Yeah. And then he did the Apes movies. Like, he was the new Planet of the Apes movies. Like, he's up for being the director of the Batman
movie. Oh, okay. Nah, I can see that, I guess. Alright.
Yeah, so, I mean, he has a visual style. He knows how to get... He works with, you know, good actors. And, you know... And that means we could get, Andy Serkis doing, like, a CG animal that's, like, super intelligent... doing something I don't know yet, which it could be.
Okay. All right. Let's see. What else? You know what? One of the big things that was on my radar this week was that dude. What's that dude? Cutie Pie's cousin.
PewDiePie.
I've never actually seen one of his videos, but he's apparently one of the top YouTube streamers or something like that. He makes millions of dollars a year. And he was released by Disney for... what they say were anti-Semitic remarks.
Mm-hmm.
My question to you guys is, who the fuck thought this was going to work out? You got a streamer who basically is like trying to entertain teenagers and doing whatever the fuck he wants, and they're going to bring him to Disney, like wholesome Disney, where they're like, ooh, nobody swear, everybody gets out, everyone is happy ending, and then they're going to put them together and be like, yeah, it should work out okay.
Yeah, that is surprising. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. What was it? Is he like Cutie Pie in style? I don't know anything about him.
No, not at all.
Cutie Pie is like, I don't know what country he's from. He's from some northern
Sweden.
European
country. Sweden. I think it's Sweden.
Yeah, but he's like super weird. And
he actually released a video, like a response video today that I watched. It's 11 minutes. It was like the top thing on Reddit for my Reddit. So where he's like, I don't know what the fuck these guys want. They doctored my shit together. Wall Street Journal tried to make a story against me, and I don't really care. I'll be fine. But they're the old people, we're the young people. Go fuck yourself. That's literally what he said, which was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
He's the number one person on YouTube, period. Like, nobody else.
I don't know.
Like, by a lot, right?
I'm sure, yeah. I don't know. Well, he's the only one. Can you name any other YouTube stars or YouTube people? That's the only one I can name, so.
I think every time I heard that, I may have thought that they were talking about
Cutie Pie. I can see that. Yeah, I can see that.
Like, I didn't know this person existed as a result of that.
I was a little disappointed because I'm like, ah, he got in trouble for what? But not the same person.
Yeah, like he's made $124 million off of YouTube.
Yeah, which is amazing.
He's 26.
Yeah, which is in the last 6 years, I think it's like $4 million a year or something. But his response was cool. He's like, all they want to talk about is the money I make. They don't want to talk about anything else. They don't want to talk about the fucking stream, the things we do for charity. Like, because you guys have seen charity streams and stuff. They're all over. Yep. They make hundreds of thousands of dollars for these charities, and they don't talk about that. They just want to know how much I made, and they don't want to talk about anything else, our content or anything like that, which is stupid. So I don't know. It's an interesting kind of dilemma, because I agree that he said some stuff that's like kind of fucked up, but he also said it in a way that like comedians say fucked up shit on stage.
Right.
What did he say?
I don't know exactly, but it was something about Jews and killing Jews. So, but think of like, was it Tracy Morgan who was like, if my son came out as gay, I would kill him, you know? And he got a lot of flack for that. That's just, sure. You do shit like that, even if you don't mean it, so.
I could see it being like, you know, a comedy thing. I just was laughing because I thought it was going to be more tame than that.
Well, it probably wasn't even, my guess is, I should watch it to know, but I don't think it was his. It's like, because there's like a, you know, picture a chat of a 1,000 18-year-olds or 20,000 18-year-olds, right. And somebody brings something up, and then so you say something about it, you know, off the cuff or whatever.
It was almost like he was baited a little bit.
I don't know. But Wall Street Journal went and ran an article where they said he had been anti-Semitic 9 times in the last 6 years, and they cut them all together. They took a bunch of them out of context, too. And so Disney's like, eh, we better not, which I understand. I just don't understand the pairing in right. general. So.
Yeah, that's the weird thing about if you make jokes that are racist or... I shouldn't sexist. Say racist implies it's interesting, because if you make a joke that involves race, you make involve a joke that involves sex, you make a joke that involves religion, it's essentially off limits. But if you make a joke that involves being fat, or if you make a joke that involves being smart or dumb, or you know, different characteristics, so it's interesting, because humor and art usually gets a pass on things.
A lot of times they do, yeah. But we are living in a more PC world. Well, I mean, not now that Trump's in office, but we were living in a more PC world, so people said... I think we had a discussion before where they're like, is it racist to say Asians are good at math? Didn't we have this discussion? It feels like we did.
Yeah, like positive stereotypes versus negative stereotypes.
Yeah,
because the one that'll never do it is all like, you know, like, hey, black guys have huge penises. They're never going to be like... Hey, that's racist.
Right, nobody's going to say anything bad about that one.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was weird when I heard there. I was like, what? They broke apart? Why did they even get together in the first place? It feels wrong. It feels like, I don't know, Dyrus trying to get together with like some homeopathic fucking company or something. Like, it's not going to work.
Yeah, and I mean, all his fans came to his defense saying, like, yeah, Disney, like, you've never done anything racist, and they show up, like, all the crazy, like all the crazy, it was like, hey, look at me, I'm, like, the Song of the South, I'm the black slave guy, dancing around, singing songs.
Dumbo, like, Dumbo's the most racist Disney fucking cartoon ever made.
Right, or, like, the Disney, you know, or all that stuff with the... With the like the Hitler back in like the like
oh,
it was
yeah.
legitimately known that Disney, like Walt Disney, did not mind the ideas of a young Adolf Hitler.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
I did not know that.
What I did see about the election is whatever that Ryan Murphy, the American Horror Story guy, came out and said like what the themes are of his the next season of American Horror Story. He's like, it is about the election.
What?
It is about the election.
Really?
Yeah, he's going to basically not take any sides, but it's going to be a horror themed episode about both sides, not of, you know, made up people, about the election, of like how both things do wrong. And I could be, and then I just started imagining like, hey, there's like witches and sacrifices and stuff to
That's
get your poll numbers up, and you know, like doing crazy shit.
I wonder if he was listening to Alex Jones, because remember I told you guys about this Alex Jones dude who literally was saying that the DNC headed by or protecting Hillary Clinton had these parties where they would bring it, they would sacrifice pedophiles, and they'd mix blood and semen, and they'd drink it for strength and stuff. That fits right into the election.
Right.
That sounds crazy as all hell.
And, I mean, they said they're starting in June to shoot, but so that means they're through a bunch of scripts. So I'm wondering if it's just happened to be like, you know, like a bunch of ideas all came together, because it's a kind of a shitty, crazy time where it's like, I was like, hey, man, we should make, and plus The Purge, come on, The Purge came out like, you know, a few years ago, and that's kind of what's just going on now.
Yeah, we're getting there. Just be a few more years, and then those actual sanctuary cities will actually be sanctuary cities where The Purge doesn't take place. So people will be like, get to a fucking sanctuary city before The Purge hits.
Right, I don't know about then, you guys, but you have to be in the city of Minneapolis for that to happen. And you guys ain't in the city of Minneapolis. Chris is close.
I'm like 3 feet away. I can step onto the line. I'll be okay.
The rest of you fuckers got to run.
Or make a sweet-ass, like, cave. Did they have a company that, like, sold protection or something? Isn't that what...
Yeah, in the first show, that was in the first movie, that's what... what Ethan Hawke's character did is, like, he sold, like, the, well, like, we're gonna put in the doors that slam shut and are made of metal and stuff to protect you. Yeah, so he was, like, he wasn't the rich elite, he was, like, the new rich, because he sold, like, the stuff that helped protect the rich people. So he kind of didn't fit in.
You know, I think The Purge is an interesting, discussion on what people are, like... let's say there's a purge, are you guys going to be more likely the ones who kind of close everything down and hang out, or the ones that are like, let's go put on a mask and run around and kill people?
I close up shop and just wait it out.
Yeah.
That's a tough call.
That's not a tough call. I'm not going to go kill
people. Who the fucks are the people that are out there killing people? Are they people that are just pissed off at life and shit, and they're like, let's just go kill motherfuckers?
Yes. Yeah, it's the people that say, like, you know, the people who, you know, are angry or don't have a job and blame, like, oh, man, look at that guy down the road, man. He has a nice car and a nicer house than me. I work hard. What, he can't work as hard as me. I'm always out sweating. He's out there with a new boat, you know, and stuff like that. You know, the people who get mad at people and blame their success on you not having success, even though they're not mutually exclusive. Like, you can be successful and I can be successful and they're not... There's not like a giant pot where we all have to. There's only so much success that can go around.
They're not happy with their station in life.
Ryan would like to discuss this pot idea of yours. A giant pot of success, eh? I think I can get behind that.
Right.
There may be a limited amount of successful jobs or some sort of quantity that's limited, but I think you're absolutely right in saying that someone else's success isn't directly, you know, taking away from you. Like, perhaps they're like 0.00000000001% reason you didn't get it, but it's so tiny, it's not fair, and it's retarded too.
You know? Now, like, I could see the guy if we're going up for the same thing, and this guy, you know, like, cut me off in traffic, and because I think there was a movie about that, like, it was like, I think it had, like, Ben Affleck back in Samuel L. Jackson, Changing Lanes. That movie where it's like the guy cut off Samuel L. Jackson and Ben Affleck cut him off, and Ben Affleck was already successful, and like, you know, like the Samuel L. Jackson's tire got flat and he was all like, oh man, I'm late to this job interview, you know, never got there, didn't get the job, was all like, it's all this guy's fault, I can directly share, like, all the bad things that happened to this day were directly to this guy who cut me off in traffic.
I don't really ever saw that movie, Changing Lanes.
Yeah, I mean, it's not good. It's like a TNT style movie where it's like, all right.
It's a Dynamite style movie?
TNT.
It's Dynamite!
It's like Tornadoes and Sharks. Sharknado.
I think it's a step above Sharknado, I'm not sure.
Right. It was all right. But, I mean, it was definitely like when they weren't in their prime. It was Ben Affleck. It was like 2002, so he wasn't in his prime, and Samuel L. Jackson wasn't in his, like, I'm going to be in a bunch of Marvel movies and get my name out there. So.
Okay. Did,
if you happen to watch it, it's not bad.
Did you guys all survive today? Today was a day without immigrants. Did anybody not survive or feel the impact at all? Adam did, because he was out and about, or oot and a boot, as they say. What did you see?
No. They let me go home early because I was an immigrant.
Wait, what?
I know. No, we were not as busy. So they're like, Adam, you go home.
Why weren't you as busy?
It's this time of year slows down for us.
So it has nothing to do with the day of immigrants? A Day Without Immigrants.
Yeah, they said, we're going to let you go home because we know you are an immigrant. And
oh my God, this guy over here. All right, did anybody actually feel an effect of this?
No, but I mean, it is understandable. Like, you know, that they, you know, there's a bunch of people, because they kind of, there's a lot of people that are immigrants that are kind of in the jobs that you don't directly pay attention to always.
Right. It's, they're like, it's more stuff, like I'm saying, so if you would have went to a place, like, that may have employed more immigrants or whatever, you might have felt it, but I did not do that, so, and it seems like nobody did.
Yeah, I didn't happen to either. I mean, I think if you would have, I heard about a guy whose his daycare was closed for that reason. Because his kid goes to a Spanish immersion thing.
Okay.
So that's the one instance I was aware of.
Well, it's somebody that I've heard something about. Amy said that there was an impact on her school. The people on the cafeteria weren't working or something like that. So minor impacts, but...
I mean, I bet you the impacts were probably more than some people. I'm sure there are some people that realized that there was immigrants somewhere, and they were surprised. And so that sense, it was probably
a yes. It just didn't work for us because we didn't really.
It just didn't happen.
And also, like, say of the immigrants, what percent actually didn't go to work today?
All of them. It was a day without them. 100%. Day without.
Yeah,
that's what it means. 100%.
I don't think it was, because a bunch of them were like, I, you know, understood what the message was, but they're like, I have to go to work because I have to make money for my family, whatever.
Yeah, who knows? So, I don't know.
Right. So if it was like, if it was legitimately, if they somehow got every immigrant to go, you know what? We're gonna take 24 hours off, and then I think you would actually feel it more, because I mean, like the gas station up the road, like Bill's. There's the Hmong kids that work there. They're, you know, and stuff like that. If all of a sudden it was like, oh, cool, there's the one white girl that works there, you'd be like, oh, shit, you guys are super busy and, you know, it's really hard. Or, I didn't see it because I went to work and I didn't go out for lunch. I didn't do anything. I didn't leave. And then I came directly home.
Yeah, pretty much as well.
Yeah, you probably feel it more if you're like, you normally go to a food court or a food truck or something for lunch or.
Right.
That's something that's more in the service industry, because there's a lot of immigrants in the service industry.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, so much for that topic.
Yeah.
Crash and burn.
All right. Next.
Come on, Dave. Didn't you watch a bunch of CW shows?
Well, a lot of the CW shows weren't on this week because of Valentine's Day.
Oh, is that why they weren't on? I usually like. I'm way behind, but I noticed that nothing had recorded on my TVR, so I was like, guess I'm not as far behind.
It was just Supergirl and Arrow this week. Both Flash and Legends were off. So
why? Because you can't like have sex, or you can't show shows while you're having sex. I don't understand.
I mean, it was weird. So they decided not to show their shows yet. ABC ran. The new episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so who knows?
Right.
But,
did anyone watch this episode of Supergirl?
Nope, I'm three behind.
Yes, I did. Because the last 5 seconds, something happened that I never thought would happen in that show's, like, I don't know how they're going to make it work.
Really?
Is it a boob?
Yeah.
Did you see the preview for next week?
Yeah.
Boob slip.
It is basically something happened that is it has happened in the comics and is totally viable in comic books, but I don't know how they're gonna make it happen in a show.
See, all this does is make me want to watch it, which is good because I have three of them queued up, and I'm like, not in the mood. But when you say shit like that, I'm more likely to go back and watch the three. So,
it was a good episode. I watched it. I'm like, this is a pretty good episode. Character motivations are good. We get further plots of everything, and then something happens. You're just like, what the fuck? Fuck! And then I was just like, I was flabbergasted on how they're gonna make it work.
Right.
So yeah, I'm interested to hear what you say by next week.
Okay.
Like,
yeah, I had to look it up because I totally forgot about that. So,
okay.
Right.
Speaking of Supergirl, I'm guessing Adam and Ryan can take this segment off real quick. But did you watch Kevin Smith's, and what did you think of it? His episode, his first episode. And it was actually, I think, 2 weeks ago, or like actually, it might have been like 4 weeks ago.
It was the return. It was the return episode.
It was a while back.
Fall break.
Yep.
Yep. And basically, they went to the other planet. She didn't have powers. Mon-El was actually doing like stuff like that. His daughter can't act very well.
I thought she did an okay job, but she seemed more like a soap opera star kind of thing, you know?
Yes, exactly. Yes. Some of her lines were very, I am making sure to say my lines directly this way to let you hear every word and enunciate exactly the way it being that she's very young, yes, she was like most children actors. I mean, sure, she's, whatever, 16, but right around that age. But she is, like, if she played more things, I think she would get used to how to deliver things a slightly more naturally. But I thought it was good. I thought it was a good episode. I like that the whole episode was basically there to set up the cool end scene of, like, you know, where it's like, have you seen this? And he's all like, he's not here. Well, where is he? Here. And they're like, and the whole thing is like, oh shit, this guy's way more than he's supposed to be.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, she did okay. I don't know. She did, like I said, I think I didn't actually notice her until the end, weirdly enough. Like, I might have been doing something else, but I didn't really notice her until she was like, Mom! She came running in.
Right, exactly. And you're like, Mom! Who knows dogs like that?
But she is young, and yeah, maybe with acting classes or something. I don't know. So, I'm of the firm belief anybody can be an actor, so.
Oh, so this is a younger daughter?
Yes, his only daughter.
Harley Quinn.
But she's 16.
He's only got one daughter.
Yeah. Same one from Yoga Hosers.
Is she the same one that was in the Yoga Hosers?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
But she's only, she's 18?
16.
17, 18?
Oh, she's 16 still, isn't she?
Yeah, 16. So, like, she can't. Yeah. But, like, that show's just fun. I like the CW shows because they are, like, Arrow is the one towards the bottom because it isn't very fun.
It's not lighthearted. The rest of them have humor in it. The rest of them are founded, I would say, on humor and feeling. That was just founded on revenge and darkness
and redemption.
Right.
Yeah.
Like every character that they're building in Arrow right now is all about redemption of their past. This whole season.
Right.
So it's been weird.
Yeah, I've been watching for a while.
Has Kevin Smith did a Goldberg's episode?
Yes.
He has directed it. It just hasn't aired yet.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. That's my second question. I was wondering if it showed up and if I missed it.
No, not yet.
I haven't seen it yet.
I will make sure that everyone knows because we just watched that episode from last night before Tiffany went to bed and
Spencer's Gifts.
Spencer's Gifts. And it was so good. It's like, you want this? We got fake vomit. We got this. It's fake dog do. And they had.
Do you like farts?
Yeah, it's farts in a bottle. I'm like, Spencer's Gift. I don't even know how that story even existed for as long as it did.
Yeah, it did. Did it for a long time. Okay, well,
I remember that story.
I'm gonna say Flash next week is gonna be kicking off a nice little arc for two episodes. The Gorilla Grodd.
Oh, that's right. I'm not into it as much as you people are. I think Gorilla Grodd is stupid. I really do.
Hyper-intelligent psychic gorilla?
I just don't like the way they're portraying it. It looks dumb. I don't know. It's weird. I've never liked it. Ever since the first one, I was like, whatever.
They're bringing in Gorilla City, so there's going to be more of it.
The thing is, we know it takes place on Earth 2, so that they got to go and we can go get Ray. Earth 2 Harrison Wells back. You know, like, because HR is alright, but he is not the Harrison Wells I got used to. So I'm like, hey, how's it going?
He's completely useless.
I'm not the smart guy.
He's
I'm
useless.
The guy with the I'm just the guy with the ID.
He reminds me of, like, the morale officer on a ship. Like, what do? I try to keep people happy. That's all you do?
Constantly drinks coffee.
Can you pick up a...
I'm gonna get another coffee.
Can you, like, pick up a gun and shoot somebody? Nope. All I do is keep people happy.
That's because coffee's illegal on his earth.
No, it got destroyed.
Yeah, and the blight.
Because of, like, the blight.
Which is interesting, because our, actually, like, 90% of our coffee is very vulnerable to blight, and they say, like, it's going to be gone in the next 50 years or so, so...
Right, which they just took it to a logical conclusion. They're just like, hey, what happens to coffee?
It's kind of cool.
Like, okay, that's what happened to our coffee.
Hey, Ryan, you better warn Amber now.
Yep.
That's bad news.
Eating just Brazilian coffee, that's about all you get. Okay, so you mentioned that there's a big, what do you call it, kind of a interesting thing that happens in Supergirl? Yes. Like, it's kind of a, like, is it more of a twist, or just kind of like, I didn't see that coming kind of a thing?
I did not. There was no setup for it.
Okay.
And it is a.
It's out of left field.
Yeah, it is completely out of left field. It is something that I did not think could happen because, sure, it's not real, but it is grounded in kind of reality a little bit.
Okay, well, that does not make a very good segue, but it's close enough because I want to talk now about
reality.
The twistiest movies of 1993. We're going to go Fight Club versus The Sixth Sense. Two movies where you don't see it coming. You're like, what? And I want you guys, or if Adam wants to judge again, then us to debate those movies.
I think, is it 99?
That's what I said, isn't it?
Yep.
I said 99. Yeah, 99. Sorry, 99.
Okay.
So, Adam, do you want to be a judge, or do you want to give... evidence, powerful, impactful evidence on which one is better.
Has Ryan had a chance to judge yet?
I've never judged before.
Shut up, we're talking to Adam right now.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. I don't argue so well.
So you're going to be an arguer. All right, so Ryan, that makes you a judge.
Well, wait. If you... Oh, okay. Yeah, that's cool.
Huh?
If you don't argue well, then you should practice.
Exactly.
So, therefore,
it's all about practice. anybody, Ryan, since you're the judge, why don't you go ahead and grab some dice and you can find out what's going on for teams and who we are and stuff. If you just grabbed your phone and you're going to a dice generator, you make me the saddest person in the world right now.
My real dice are not near, but my fake dice on my phone.
He doesn't know where his real dice are.
I do. Okay,
he's only got Garbage Seeker.
Garbage Seeker is actually here. It was left here, and people used it tonight. And we're like, what the fuck is this? And I said, that's Garbage Seeker. Don't use it.
okay, so let's see here. We got upper right, A-dubs.
Ooh, Adam's in my upper left. Right. Sorry.
And then Dave, and then D2.
Da-da-da-da-da.
So I'm going to roll to see who's with who. So the two highest rolls will be together. A-dubs... you rolled a 3.
Yay.
Congratulations.
On a D3.
D1. You rolled a critical.
What?
Nice job. That's a good sign. I think you should automatically get the better movie based on rolling a D20. But, let's see.
I'm not sure what the better movie is, honestly.
Right. Well, the better
try to
twist, because we're arguing the twist, right?
Nope, we're just arguing the movie, just like usual.
Okay. Alright.
So D2, okay, you got a 6.
Ooh.
This is not looking good.
I better get low to have a shot here.
Chris got an 18.
Ooh, it's going to be rough. It'll be rough.
A-dubs, D2. Let me go ahead and do the movie selection. Is there any... favorites? You guys got a favorite? Oh, no, we're not going to do
that. I don't,
favorites.
Honestly. I'm okay with both.
D2, heads or tails? Heads, you can pick.
Ooh.
Or, if you get it right, you can pick. What do you want? Call it. Call it in the air.
Are you?
I don't see you flipping.
Are you pushing a button on your thing?
You're breaking the suspension of disbelief.
Yeah, for people who are watching the stream right now. Heads.
Tails. Ooh. Holy cow, you guys are low and rolling, missing it on your flips.
Well, if you wouldn't be using a computer program.
Yes, that would change
things. Computers, statistical error. All computers hate Dave, too, it's true.
So now I'm going to give it to randomness. Chris and Dave will get Fight Club. It was high. Chris and Dave...
So what was the purpose of the flip of the coin then?
I just gave you advantage.
Okay, so we'll be arguing that Fight Club was the better movie of 1999. You two will be arguing that Sixth Sense was the better movie of 1999. This is cold. I haven't done any research. I don't think you guys have done any research, so we'll jump into it.
Dave's reading right now. Look at him. You can see it in his glasses.
Dave is contemplating the nature of reality. That's how certain he is that he's got this in the bag.
Looks like the Matrix.
I'm just making. I was in the Matrix.
I'm seeing the numbers scroll by, and he's like,
"Okay."
The Matrix is not in this discussion. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's true.
Which was also 1999.
It was, but I took it out because it's not as. Well, it is as twistiest, but it seems like that's an obvious better movie. You know, these two seem a little bit more together. I think the Matrix. Ooh, now.
I'm offended by
ooh,
that.
Ooh, interesting. We're going to go into it.
Oh, man. Do not offend the judge, dude. You're
a little bit angry.
I'm so certain. I'm so certain that I can offend the judge, and I still think we got this one in the bag. So that's what I think.
All right. So here's what we'll do. Dave, we'll do the thing you did before where we're going to have one team go first, and we'll do the snake round. No, the person, it's going to be like ABBA. Is that what we did before?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll do ABBA. So let's see who randomly is which, what not. This is more complicated than I thought. All right.
I think you're making it more
Chris
complicated.
Chris and Dave, if it's high, you guys will be A. It's low. All right, so it's going to go Dave, Adam, and then Chris and D1, and finishing up with Dave Adam.
All right.
So who's going to go first, Adam or Dave? Adam goes first. And then Chris and Dave, you guys, who's going to go first amongst
I'll
you?
I'll go first. Dave likes to bring it home.
All right. And D2 will bring it, will finish it off for the AD team. All right. And we'll give you guys 45 seconds each. Does that sound about right?
Sure.
I thought it was 90 seconds.
We used to go to a minute and a half.
Yeah. All right, fine. 90 seconds. Jeez.
Well, we can go 60 if you think it's better.
You got 22 hours in a day. You go 45 seconds. I'll go with 90. That's fine. I actually don't care.
That's what she said.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Adam. Make your case.
Okay, so we got Bruce Willis, who plays what role does he play? He plays a doctor. Right? He's a doctor of child molesting. No. Doctor of psychology, right? Okay, so
for children.
Hey, you cannot help this minute.
So we got Bruce Willis who is helping out a kid who somehow sees dead people. I don't know how, but I lost my train of thought, and okay, so there's this kid, and he's running around going, I see dead people lots, I see dead people lots, and runs around some more, and eventually we find out that's all he sees is dead people. Bruce Willis was fake, and I don't have a clue. I've seen this movie one time, but apparently M. Night Shyamalan, Ding Dong, is awesome. And he watched, or he made this movie that made what, $500 million? I have no clue.
Did you just say a number?
What?
You got 10 more seconds.
10 more seconds? God damn it! We should have done 45 seconds. This is a hell of a lot easier. Anyway.
All right.
I scared people. It's the coolest movie.
Thank you, Adam. Now, Chris, you can butt and respond.
First of all, I'd like to nominate Adam as our diplomat for the UN from now on, because his smooth discussion style is way over my head. I can't come close. But anyways, we're talking about...
It's in with our current
president. We're talking about Fight Club. Fight Club. Have you seen Fight Club? This is an awesome movie. Yes. This is the movie. This is the movie where a guy sits in an office and comes up with the ingenious plot of beating the shit out of himself so he can get travel vouchers and start a fight club. It's pretty awesome. This is a movie where it's you going into it, you like, this is definitely, I know what's happening. I know what's happening. It's obviously, it's for sure. And then once the big reveal hits, you almost want to watch the movie over again. But luckily, they show you those kind of flashbacks. You're like, oh, shit. He was talking to himself the whole time. And my favorite part is when he comes into the room and he's banging Marla, and they show that again, and he's like, what'd she say? Oh, I haven't been fucked like that since I was in grade school. Come on, there's dialogue like that. It's amazing. Last scene. Oh, the whole thing revolves around a terrorist plot where everyday people are just trying to wipe away everything and make everybody back to one. It's a great plot because you can get behind it even if you're a regular person that's like, fuck it, I don't care. Mark everything back to zero. Let's all start over and go from there. And along the way, they beat the shit out of each other. I am Jack's spleen, or whatever the fuck he says all the time. That's good stuff right there. And I will cede any remaining time I have to my distinguished colleague.
Your time is up.
Oh.
D1, you're up.
Well, thank you for that. That was a great opening. Well, first of the directors, let's just start with the directors. That's an easy place. David Fincher, a way better Academy Award winning director, is way better than M. Night Shyamalan. It's like, so that we can just take off the books. Fight Club, it works on so many levels. Not only is it a twist, but it's also a story of, like, where are men's place in society? We have these instincts that are built into us, like where we're taught to protect and to take care of things and be aggressive. And it's like those things aren't, like, we're not allowed to use those anymore. So people, they come together to show, like, it's okay to be aggressive as long as it's contained within, like, a group together. I think that's an interesting topic that isn't discussed. It's like how men deal with other men. Sure, we make fun of each other a lot, but sometimes you kind of want to punch each other, but then you're okay with punching each other. Women don't understand that, like where we can be mad at each other and then we hit each other or be mean to each other and then we go, all right, we're better again. I think the acting is way better. I mean, sure, you have one really good actor in Sixth Sense, Bruce Willis, but you have two really great actors in Fight Club, so you're already 100% better. You know, Brad Pitt, hilarious, you know, as Tyler Durden, and as Jack, the unreliable narrator.
Time's up, Dave.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. No.
Woo! Booyah!
Hey, now. The Sixth Sense, you know, is not a movie that matches up well to Fight Club, other than they both have pretty interesting twists. So, you know, you have to really separate it out. Yeah, David Finch versus M. Night Shyamalan, come on, we all know, but this is about the movie, not about the director, okay? So the movie Sixth Sense is a story about redemption. The problem is it starts off with you getting you thinking that the story of redemption is all about Bruce Willis, but at the end, it's really about Haley Joel Osment, the kid. It's about his redemption. It's about him helping people move forward, not the child psychologist. And did you forget about the color red? You know, the whole using of symbolism of the color red throughout the movie represent that the other world, the spirit world, is tainting the real world? Right? And how can you forget? He's 11 years old and he can see dead people. If I was 11 years old and I could see dead people, I would not be handling it the way that he handles it throughout the movie. Trust me. I'd be like freaking out. Lock me up because I don't know what's going on. Overall, this movie is a lot more interesting than Fight Club. I'm sorry, but it's more in-depth. It's more kind of having you going, whoa, what's really going on? Does he really see dead people? And then you got the girl that's like vomiting up her like liquid soup all over everybody. Well, kind of. What? And I hate the countdown, Ryan. What the fuck is that? Anyway, okay, I'm done.
You should not insult the judge during your argument.
Mom, our argument was tremendous. Yours was dumb. You're wrong.
We had the greatest argument there ever was.
I had the greatest victory, electoral victory, since Reagan, except if you don't want to talk about George W. Bush the first time, Barack Obama, Clinton, any of those guys. If you want to get rid of all the guys I don't want to talk about, then I had the greatest victory.
Awesome. Thanks for arguing, everybody. Ryan will render his verdict soon, but you out there still have a chance to impact the results. Because as we know, Ryan is only 45%, while your votes out there are 55%. So write in, geeksnextdoorftw@gmail.com, and let us know what you think of which argued the best, Fight Club, the superior movie, or Sixth Sense, which was an okay movie but has douchebag Willis in it. But Ryan, give us your verdict here.
It's really close, honestly. I would say that nobody really nailed it. I think D2 probably had the strongest individual showing. But his partner was somewhat bouncing about many places, which makes for a difficult situation. I don't know what the rules are, but I always like to pick an answer that's not acceptable, so I'm going to call it a tie.
Oh my god, fuck this guy.
Nice job, Ryan, guys. Well
Ryan
done.
Has
well
done his one and only judging for this segment. He will never be a judge again. He has lost his realm of judging.
Well, this is totally what I wanted to happen.
Fight Club strong enough. Fight Club is definitely the better movie. I say Fight Club's better than The Matrix. I'm just saying.
Matrix? Do you remember watching The Matrix for the first time?
The Matrix is really good. Oh. But Fight Club was also, to me, really, really good when I saw it the first time. Do you remember when he went up to the guy in the store and like held a gun up to it and it says, like, you are going to become a veterinarian. You're going to school today. You know, that shit was real, man. It was like, it was
good. Yeah, you know what was not real? The entire world in The Matrix, because that's how it would blow my mind. Oh, it's not real? I thought it was real. No, computer simulation. Damn. Not real. I counter your real with not real.
That was a good counter. But I still like, I'm just saying, Dave, you got me some support on this? I mean, not saying that.
I agree. Like, The Matrix, sports, martial arts, it's gunfight. Like, for me, there are better movies with gunfights. There are better movies with martial arts. I have to be in a Matrix-y kind of mood to go, like, okay, I kind of want to just, like, enjoy, like, the world they do create. Fight Club, I think of, I have watched it the most because I just, like, that movie speaks to me on that, like I was saying, that level of, you know, like, sometimes I don't feel like, you get angry or you're like, where do you, like, I have to repress, the testosterone male emotions like that sometimes I have where I just like I kind of
that's what the gym's for. You don't need to repress it, brother. Just go and start lifting weights.
I don't want to lift weights. I want to like punch
more
someone's
weight.
Brain into like mush.
That's what you're doing basically, except for lifting instead of punching.
No, like I would go to the gym and I'd say like, look at that big dude and like look at him. Why is he flexing and looking at himself in the mirror?
Nobody does that.
And I'd be like, is this what a man's supposed to look like?
Yes, obviously. I will.
I like
more,
that.
More
I like,
weights.
What's that, Ryan?
Sorry, go ahead. I was gonna say I like the fact that movie talks about it takes a guy who's living a typical life and peels away and says, what's really important? What are you really working for? What are you striving for? It attacks all the consumerism and BS that drives the rat race, and it tears it down literally right before your eyes, and it does it in a way that is really interesting.
Sure.
The characters are interesting. I mean, it's super good.
I would agree that the movie holds up better, but that first viewing, nothing will ever, I think, compete with that first viewing I saw of The Matrix, and that gives me a love of the film that is hard to deny. But yeah, you're right, because and I think the sequels diminish the first viewing of the first movie, obviously. But I mean, Fight Club, these are all great movies, right? But I just, that feeling I got when they made that reveal, and I was like, are you fucking kidding me? And I had a similar feeling with The Sixth Sense, and to a lesser extent Fight Club when they made their reveals. I did like the world that they built in The Matrix, and the fact that we're all living, and what does it mean to be living in your reality and stuff. They're all really good movies. I do think Fight Club holds up better than The Matrix, though.
So. Yeah, and I wouldn't force. I don't think you're sure. If you pick it higher, I don't think it's a bad pick. I was only responding to you stating that there's no contest.
Yeah, there's no contest.
Earlier. And for me, there's a big contest, and I give Fight Club a slight edge. But I do love The Matrix, too, so, you know, Sixth Sense is kind of in a bad spot.
It really is. Like, if we have to rank them, I think it's going to be near the bottom for all of us.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, God, and yes.
It was good, but not comparable good.
No. And, like, I can watch the Fight Club, and you know the twist from the beginning because you've seen it, and you go, like, oh, cool, you're entertained in the... I don't feel the movie is diminished by knowing the twist already. Sixth Sense, I just go, okay, there's that red thing. That means there's a ghost there. Okay, that means that, hey, they don't interact with each other anymore. That's me. That, you know, like, you basically see all the little tricks that are put in there. And then when the twist hits you, you're like, oh, okay. Now that I see all the, like, the little teases, you go, oh, okay, that's cool.
No, I would agree.
Yeah.
And I think of the three, like, The Matrix gave me one of the best trailers I've ever seen. I mean, it was just, it made you like, what the fuck is going on here? And it didn't give it too much away where you're like, oh, it was just enough where you're like, holy shit, I want to see this movie and see what's going on. So I think whoever made that trailer should got an Academy Award for trailer making.
I don't remember what the trailer was.
You can go back and watch it. It's just basically Morpheus talking about no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to, you know, it's kind of stuff like that.
Okay.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, it's like, it's the good, like, trailer that tells you nothing, but just gives you that feeling of like, oh shit, this is going to be something good.
Yep.
Okay, so which movie have you seen the most out of all those?
For me, I think it's The Matrix. Fight Club's close, but I went through a long time of not watching it, so I think it's The Matrix for me, and because it's always on TNT.
Yes, The Matrix is on TV. Like, Fight Club is not on TV because of, like, what it is a hard rated R movie. The Matrix is rated R, but you can edit a few things to put it on TBS or Sci-Fi Channel.
So what is yours, The Matrix, then, or have you watched something else?
Yes, okay. I've seen The Matrix.
What about you, Red?
I've seen Fight Club more, but I've seen both of them not that many times. Like, in
so it's like four compared to two.
Yes, exactly.
What you had?
I think when I first got a DVD player, it was probably one of the only movies that I got. So, like, one of the first couple movies that I got. So I probably watched that one a lot.
You didn't say which one.
Oh, I'm sorry. Matrix.
Oh, okay. Okay. What you did? Dave?
Me? I already said
that. No, Dave too.
Dave too?
No, I was just fooling again.
Oh, that's riveting. Riveting. Thanks, man.
It makes for a great podcast.
What'd you say, Matrix? Yeah. All right. Yeah, but like I said, I think, because me and Amy watched parts of Fight Club recently when it was on, like, one of the movie channels, I think that movie holds up better. It's like more, you want to know what's happening, you want to know what's going on kind of a thing, so.
At least the original, the final two.
It seems more cerebral because there's a lot more action in... Well, that's weird. I would say originally that there's a lot more action in The Matrix, but there is a lot of punching in Fight Club.
It's true.
There's interesting action. There's all kinds of fun stuff.
Yeah. All right.
He starts getting anti-like... I like when they're just messing with people. You know what I mean? Like, it's entertaining when they're just, like, doing funny shit, you know?
What do you say about the soup? I don't think you want the soup today.
Yes.
And it is one of the few movies where they achieve their objective at the end, right? The bad guy, so to speak, or the plot to bring down, there it's achieved. You sit there and watch as rage comes in, as buildings explode. That's a good ending. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good movie. We should watch that.
And our game.
All right.
Dark Corner.
What? Rough, rough, rough.
No, Adam, that's fucking fine.
Dave put a thing in the bottom corner, so I just took care of it.
No. Because basically that it connects to Chris and myself and Ryan and Amy went and saw John Wick 2, Chapter 2 on Saturday.
Is this Dog Wick?
Basically, someone made a trailer imagining the complete opposite happened at the first, like, the guys broke in and shot John Wick, but left his dog alive, and the dog seeks revenge on everyone. So everyone's all like, the Russian guy's all like, now where is John Wick's dog? And he just starts shooting everyone. It's pretty great.
That's pretty funny.
But what did you think of that movie? Ryan, Chris,
I thought it was pretty good. It started out, it seemed like it was kind of cheesy, and like it seemed too forced continuation, and the plot seemed thin, but it was short-lived. It was an intro, and then it started to get interesting for real. They continued to build on the sort of secret underworld of assassins and sort of, I don't know what the non-assassins are, like, I guess Illuminati type dudes. That was cool. And there was lots of good killing action. I like the style of fighting he does. I think it's
too much action.
Although it's kind of repetitive. It's like, you know, chest shot, headshot, chest shot, headshot, chest shot, headshot. You just like, but I liked it. I thought it was good.
Yeah, me and Amy were talking about it afterwards, and she was like, you know, it was good, but I thought the first like 10 minutes or whatever were the best part of it, when they were dealing with the aftermath of the first one, kind of, you know.
Really?
Yeah, she's like, because it felt more like the first, not the first movie, but it felt like there was, I guess, not as forced, and it felt like it was just a continuation of, oh, now they have this dude's car, and holy shit, and it was the continued reaction of that guy, right? The boogeyman, like, he killed my brother, he killed my nephew, kind of a thing. And the rest of it was, while it was cool that they all gave him respect, you know, especially the other guy who's like, you killed my ward. They're like, are you working tonight? But it wasn't like the fear of the first one where they're like, we're fucked. What are we going to do? We're fucking fucked. And you are right about the action. The action is the same thing. It's shooting, shooting, punching, shooting, stabbing, shooting, shooting, lots of shooting. I did appreciate the few times where the entire audience had to react like visually, like, oh, and there was an especially bad like nut shot or something that happened that was just terrible. And I did like,
I think it's interesting that you have the part you like the most is exactly the opposite of me.
I did like their world building. It didn't feel like it was super complex, but I liked it. I thought that part was good too. I do think the first one was more fun and interesting, but
yeah.
Why? What'd you think, Dave?
I liked it a lot because it is like, it felt very 80s in the way where it's like the plot was very basic, and it was just like, okay, what interesting ways can we see him dispatch people? And it's all like, oh, cool. It's like they had like mini sub bosses. Like, okay, this is the assassin lady who plays the violin. Okay, cool. This is the assassin guy who's like a sumo wrestler guy. But the thing is, why is he a sumo wrestler guy in the middle of the city? Doesn't really matter. He just happens to be there. It's like it was just fun, and like the side characters were really cool. Like, I'm the Solman, yeah, whatever, the basically the wine
that
guy
was fun.
Who's also like,
that was fun.
Who's also the guy who says like, who gives you hands and gets you your guns. He's all like, ooh, I need something to end with a something bold, and he's like, then how about the Benelli M3 shotgun? And he's like, oh, okay, and shit like that. That was like really fun.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I thought like that chick that he's sent to kill is pretty badass. Like, she knows that it's over, so she's like, and Amy missed this part, she's like, why is she in the bathtub naked? Does she have to take her clothes off before he kills her? I was like, kind of, and I kind of appreciated the way that she wanted to die, so that was kind of cool too. But yeah, she was epitome of fuck this, I know what's happening, let's deal with it, kind of a thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was pretty good.
And their way of working around, okay, and nobody has these sweet ass suits like me. Only like, you know, like my suits are bulletproof. Don't worry about it. I can get shot a bunch of times, but it's okay because it's a bulletproof suit. You know, like the fabric keeps it, still hurts a lot, but the bullet just can't penetrate.
Yeah, yeah, it was good. It was a fun movie.
Yeah, and just make cheap movies that are fun, and you can keep making fun cheap movies forever.
Yeah, I agree. This is, I put a GIF up of my favorite GIF because it's what I imagine Ryan being doing if he ever made a robot serve him. And it makes me laugh all the time. So I'll leave that there for you guys to peruse.
That's funny.
I think Ryan is making robots to serve him.
To really serve man. No.
This is 1.0, man. Just give it time.
Yeah. Okay, give me a few more things, and we'll throw out some D&D movie plot lines, and we'll call it a night.
Star Wars?
Oh, Marvel's cashing in on the whole Guardians of the Galaxy and Baby Groot. Since everybody's going crazy for Baby Groot, they decided that they're going to make his own comic now. And it'll be the adventures of Baby Groot in space.
Huh.
So
I don't think I'll. Good job, Marvel. I don't think I'll read that, but okay.
Right.
It's not a character I identify with.
And then the other thing I posted at the very top is Disney announced Star Wars Force Friday the 2nd. So it's there's annual Star Wars event. This one, you know, they did one 2 years ago to coincide with with episode 7. Now they're doing, and then they did one last year for Rogue One a little bit, but now they're going to do one again for the next episode, episode 8. And everyone's going cuckoo over the photo they posted, trying to figure out what this all means for the three characters. You know, with the helmet and Rey's new look in the picture with their hair down and kind of this menacing kind of pose with the lightsaber. So, yeah, you can read more about that.
Okay.
If you, no spoilers, so that's good.
I did like, did you guys see, they posted I think it was a Instagram or Twitter post or something of the first day of shooting for the Han Solo movie. And the tagline was, Han first shot instead of, Han shot first.
Yes.
That's really good. That's good shit.
Clever.
So, Ryan, if you didn't get that, Han shot first is a thing because Han Solo in one scene shoots somebody first.
Greedo
first.
Yep, and then Lucas changed it in the
other. Right, exactly. So, Han shot first. So, this one was Han first shot, which I thought was pretty clever. So I didn't have to explain much. You knew it exactly. Good job.
I did know it. I did. Yeah. Sometimes I do know.
Well, that was for everybody who didn't understand that, so.
I know.
The one person out there.
I just know that I actually knew what was going on.
Good job, good job. Okay, cool. I should be keeping track of who wins these things, because whoever wins on the 100th episode gets a special prize. It's my balls. It's my balls in your mouth. So I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 amazing D&D plotline questions for you guys. See who gets them. Don't yell it out. Let it make it be known you got it, though. As you know, which it's basically what we're doing is we're taking some popular movies, turning them into D&D-like words, and we're gonna see who guesses what the movie is. Got it?
Got it.
All right.
Got it.
Good.
So, first movie. Here we go. Basic plot. See if you get it. The laid-back heir to a kingdom has his life thrown into turmoil when the king marries, taking on a new ward. The two fight for dominance, eventually, though, uniting together to form a prestigious realm known worldwide.
Got it.
One more time.
What's the key there? Realm.
The laid-back heir to a kingdom has his life thrown into turmoil when the king marries, taking on a new ward. The two fight for dominance, eventually, though, uniting together to form a prestigious realm known worldwide.
Well, I know what it is.
I think I got it.
All right. What do you guys got? Throw it out. Everybody.
Step Brothers.
Step Brothers.
Adam nodded, so I'm assuming that's what he meant?
Of course.
Okay. Prestige worldwide.
Is that what gave it away?
Yeah. Yes.
Ryan, what gave it away for you?
There was something. It had the tone of Step Brothers, and I don't know where it came from.
Yes.
I think it's
we
a laid
become
back.
Best friends.
Yep. All right, good job. Here's another one. A kingdom is invaded and nearly subjugated by strange creatures. A small band of survivors comes together to hatch a multifaceted assault on the creature's navy. In the end, two intrepid heroes destroy the creature's flagship as the surviving band triumphs over the rest of the fleet. One more time. A kingdom is invaded and nearly subjugated by strange creatures. A small band of survivors comes together to hatch a multifaceted assault on the creature's navy. In the end, two intrepid heroes destroy the creature's flagship as the surviving band triumphs over the rest of the fleet.
It's Chuds, right?
It is Chuds. No, it is not Chuds.
Everybody loves Chuds.
Critters? Critters.
I don't know.
Fleet.
All right.
I'm not sure.
All right.
Something where two people break off and save the day.
I like to see the gears turning. Okay, what do you two got?
This is a complete guess because I don't think I've ever actually seen the entire movie. Battleship.
It's not Battleship, but that's a very good guess.
It was, because there's a lot more people on the Battleship, because that was my first guess.
Oh, too. Interesting. Do you got an answer, Dave?
No, it's like I lost it. I thought I had something, but then something came up that it like...
This might be one for Chris.
Here's a hint, all right? The flagship explodes in massive firework-like fashion. It's a pretty subtle hint, too.
Oh, I know what it is. I think I know what it is.
Oh, Ryan.
I know what it is. Good subtle hint, man.
Pulling it out. What do you got?
I'm going with Independence.
You got it. Good job.
Yes.
That's what I thought. But
why did you say it then?
I don't
just
know.
Just throw it out there. It doesn't matter if you're wrong or right or if you get Battleship or Independence Day. So. All right. Third one. A very small-time criminal with the heart of gold must embrace an old man's quest to keep secret documents out of the hands of an adventuring group plotting to take over the world.
That one went pretty fast.
Yeah, one more time. A very small-time criminal with the heart of gold must embrace an old man's quest to keep secret documents out of the hands of an adventuring group plotting to take over the world.
I have a guess.
Okay, give it a second here. All right, Adam, what do you got for a guess?
I'm hoping Ant-Man.
You got it. Good job. I think you guys would have got the hint. Although he was once a small-time criminal, to be victorious, he must become even smaller.
Yeah. That's a good one.
All right, two more. Let's see. Five apprentice woodworkers spend a grueling day being punished for their transgressions. During that time, they learn they have more in common than they thought and learn even more about themselves.
I got one.
That was really quick. All right. Throw out some answers.
Yeah, go on. Breakfast Club.
Breakfast Club. Yeah. Well, you guys are like experts at this game. You're amazing. All right. Last one, and it might be a little bit of a stretch, so put on your out-of-the-box thinking pants real quick.
Thinking pants.
Yep. Out of the box, thinking pants. A priest of Air returns to the temple he trained in to help a friendly priestess finally lay eyes on their god. Along the way, they must attempt to bring a fallen priest back into the fold and save others from the wrath of their angry deity. Yeah, this one's hard.
That's...
One more time. A priest of Air returns to the temple he trained in to help a friendly priestess finally lay eyes upon their god. Along the way, they must attempt to bring a fallen priest back into the fold and save others from the wrath of their angry deity.
What's that Chow Yun Fat movie?
This one's hard. I'm not gonna lie. This one.
I would. The Crouching Tiger thing sounds like I don't remember the plot, but it seems like it could.
It's a good guess.
That's what I was thinking.
It's not it. It's a good guess.
There's no air in that, really. They float.
Well, air could be just an arbitrary. That one is unclear whether air is.
That's true.
Or not. It could be.
That's true.
But it's hard.
Right.
It's hard
You're
to
right.
know.
Yeah, this one. If there was like a difficulty in the book, this would be like hard. This is a pretty hard one.
The word air is actually throwing me a little bit, because it could be the elemental air or the son of?
Oh, that's a good point. If you were reading it, you would read A-I-R.
Okay.
Here's a quick hint, and it's not a great hint, but you might get a little bit more from it. In order to be victorious, the two are given four chances to get their friend Dorothy to fly.
Oh. Really? Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
What are you guys saying yes for? Does that mean you have answers?
Really?
What do you got?
It makes sense. It was a stretch. Yeah, it's a stretch, but I like it.
Yeah. Twister.
Twister, yes.
Oh, shit, I don't know that movie.
Oh, really? Really? You don't know it at all? Oh, my God. I've seen that movie more than I think any other movie I've ever seen in my life.
Really?
True. Yeah. It came free when you got a DVD player.
That's why, yes.
And Helen Hunt.
And Helen Hunt, yes, with her being a scientist and blonde. That's,
white T-shirt.
Yeah, yeah, I had to take care of that. So. Okay, cool. Thanks for joining in. Anything else before we go, or are we fucking done? It's nearly midnight here.
Let's see. For Honor is still amazing. That game is great.
Okay.
It's a lot of fighting and a lot of
fun. It doesn't look like my type of movie, so I mean, I think I enjoy watching people play it and enjoy that people like it. It's just not, it's not my style at all.
Yeah, 100%. You have to kind of like it. You have to kind of want to be in that world. But yeah, it's really fun. So anyone who wants to listen and watch and play that game, it's really
okay.
Fun.
And we may have a few more people joining our Conan server here. It looks like there was an interest this evening of people who are like, we played it when it came out and it was really buggy and crashed a lot. I was like, yes, that's true. And it's come a long way in the last week or two. It's still a little bit of bugs, but it's come a long way. So.
All right. They know the rules though, right? When you first show up, we need to see your your dingus.
Let's see how big your dog is, damn it.
if
it's too big, you're out.
Yeah, get out.
Yeah, the only problem I've had I played for a little bit before we started the podcast, and there is a bug with getting water. Like, the water skins won't fill. So
I'll have to check that. I played this afternoon and it filled fine, so I'll have to. Maybe it'll be on your side. We'll look at it. There was a big update today. There was actually a pretty cool update today. It was really big. I think it helped the server lag issues and stuff. So.
And it fixed the bow. It makes the bow shoot.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, ooh, Ryan's going to be super happy about that. Okay, cool. Let's take off for the night. Thanks, guys, for being here. GeeksXDoorFTW@gmail.com when you want to write in and tell us how amazing Fight Club is. And that's it. Let's take off for the week. Night.
Later.
Good night. Later.